Okay, good morning and welcome to another edition of Weekend Magazine. We are going to one of the best historic sites that you're going to see anywhere in the country. It's Washington's headquarters, and we are so fortunate that it's located right in Newburgh, New York, here in the Hudson Valley. And I'm going to be speaking with Elise Goldberg, who's the site director, right?
Site manager
mm-hmm. of Washington's headquarters State Historic Site. And welcome aboard.
Well, thank you for having us.
This is quite a significant historic site. I mean, it's just amazing. You want to pick a place to start, and we'll go through and cover everything.
Sure. The first thing to know about Washington's headquarters, it's the first publicly owned historic site in the nation. It opened as a historic site in 1850.
Wow.
So if you think back to how, been, 168 years, it's been a historic site.
So people realize that that's the most important of everything that went on early on.
Well, it was important enough even in the middle of the 19th century to save.
Yeah.
So it really was the start of public preservation
right here in our city
of Newburgh.
Yeah.
But the reason that they wanted to save it was because of Washington's presence here.
Yeah.
He was here from April of 1782 until August of 1783. And he had about 160-some-odd headquarters during the war. The war lasted 8 years. And this is where he was the longest. He was here for 16 and a half months.
Newburgh is a very important location, too. It had to do with the food routes and, crossing the river, and there was quite a bit of stuff.
Well, the river was critical. It was very important to hold on to that river for transportation issues. It also separated pretty much New England from the rest of the continental United States. And let's remember, during the war, that New York was a British entity.
Yeah.
So West Point was critical in securing the Hudson River. And Washington's army was cantoned in New Windsor. In this area, there were 7,000 soldiers and camp followers at that time in this area. And it was all north of West Point. We had, in Fishkill, there was the big depot.
They had signal fires in Beacon, too, right, on top of the mountain?
That's why it's Mount Beacon.
Yeah.
It was one of the signal fires. They went all the way down through New Jersey and in Hudson Valley.
Wow.
And because of the Hasbrook House's location facing the river, he was able to tell very quickly if there was movement or activities going on down towards New York City.
So when the fires were lit, that means there was some kind of activity going on?
There was a whole series of different signal codes. There were, if I remember correctly, and don't quote me on this, there were a number of actual fires. If one was lit, it meant one thing. If two were lit.
Okay.
But I think it was a way of communicating long distances from mountaintop to mountaintop up the Hudson Valley. So it was a strategically important location, and it was very important that the river was protected and secured.
Wasn't the food supply came through here also, didn't it?
Everything came through the river. We didn't have the interstate at that point.
Yeah.
The river was the easiest way to transport troops and all kinds of supplies.
Wow, that's something else. So he was there, and this is where he turned down the crown in this area,
too,
right?
There were a number of things, and I guess the important thing to know about the history is that when Washington was here, it was after the siege of Yorktown.
Okay.
And now, with 2020 hindsight, people know that that was the last major conflict in the war.
Uh-huh.
But at that time, though they were negotiating a peace, nothing was really settled or written in stone. So we were still on guard. It was a contemplative time because there weren't any major battles during that time. So while he was here, he was able to do a number of different things and correspondence and writing. And one of the things he did do, like you said, is Colonel Nicola's letter, where it was suggested that we become a monarchy after the war.
Oh, really?
And with Washington as a potential person to lead the country. And Washington was vehement about declining that, that he did not think that that's what we had been spending all this time fighting for.
Wow, boy, good thing you said that, huh?
Yeah, and, you know, and at the same time, he also wrote what he called the circular letter to the general, to the governors, where he wrote a letter, it was 17 pages long, it was very long, but it articulated all of his visions for the new republic. And some of them were controversial, but a lot of them made them into the Constitution when that was developed. So it gave him time to really think about it, write his wishes down. While he was here, he also created the Badge of Military Merit.
Purple Heart, which later
became the Purple Heart. Yeah. So this was the foundation for that. And we know that it was awarded to three people during that time, and one of the actual original badges is on view at the National Purple Heart Hall of Honor down in New Windsor. But that was created here.
Wow, that's something. You have a lot of historic artifacts at your site also, along with the actual building where he lived, right? Did Martha come? Martha was living here too?
Martha was here for 12 of the 16 months.
Uh-huh.
So we interpret the headquarters, the Hasbrouck House, as if Washington were in residence.
Okay.
So you can go through the house with the tour guide and see what it was like to live there with him, who his military family was, because he had aides de camp living there. He had, I mean, there were up to 20 people living in that house at one point. There was a lot going on. It was a very active place. And we interpret the actual headquarters as if he were there. But on top of that, because we became the first publicly owned historic site in 1850, people started donating artifacts. So we've built up a collection since then. And it's not only Revolutionary War things or Washington-related things, but it's Newburgh's history.
Oh, wow.
And it's sort of a microcosm of collecting in America. So it has people started going on grand tours, and we have souvenirs from grand tours. We have Cabinet of Curiosity things as people started doing scientific research and oddities. We have things like that in our collection, too. We have domestic wares. We have military things. We have clothing and textiles. And so we have a very eclectic collection. And a museum building was built and opened in 1910 on the site to house, specifically to house the collection and to show exhibits of those collections and other things. And we've renovated it in the last 6 years. We have new exhibits. We have over 1,300 objects on view alone upstairs.
Wow.
So there is a lot to see, and it's a wonderful gem. And the other thing that we can't forget is the beautiful location on the Hudson, not only because of its importance, but it's beautiful. So you can come on a wonderful day and look out at the history, as well as look out over the river.
Wow, that's beautiful. Yeah, there's a Tower of Victory. What is that? And you could look all the way down the Hudson, I think.
Right, the Tower of Victory we're very proud of. It's one of the few monuments to peace as opposed to war.
Mm-hmm.
It was erected in the late 19th century, 1887, I believe. And it was dedicated to the 100th anniversary of the peaceful end of the war, because this is also where Washington wrote the cessation of hostilities, the order in his general orders. Basically, it stopped the fighting of the war and started him going about the business of dismantling the army. And so this is to celebrate the 100th anniversary of that peaceful end of the war. And it has a wonderful dedication, if I can read it.
Yeah.
It says, "This monument was erected under the authority of the Congress of the United States of America and of the State of New York in commemoration of the disbandment under proclamation of the Continental Congress of October 18th, 1783, of the armies by whose patriotic and military virtue our national independence and sovereignty were established."
Wow.
And that says a lot. I get goosebumps when I read it. But that says a lot about how important this site was. And, you know, the armies at that time, this is how we became independent.
Yep.
And the Tower of Victory is a monument to that. Back in 1883, Robert Todd Lincoln, okay. who at that point was Lincoln's son, but also Secretary of War, he is the one who dedicated funds and got this underway.
Wow.
And it took a few years to build, but it was John Hemingway Duncan, who was an artist and architect, actually designed it, and he later designed Grant's Tomb in New York and the Memorial Arch near Prospect Park in Brooklyn. So he was a prominent architect at the time. And the sculptures on it, we have a number of bronze sculptures and gates that were done by William Randolph O'Donovan, who was also prominent at the time. So it's a very important structure.
It's big. How tall is that?
It is, I want to say, it's about 55 feet tall.
Yeah, so the people used to be able to go up to the top?
Well, people look at it now,
uh-huh.
and they think of it as this arch with sort of a little bit of a rounded top,
uh-huh.
because that's how it's been since about 1950-something,
right.
when there was some storm damage.
Oh, okay.
And the roof really went into disrepair, and ultimately it was the roof section was taken off,
uh-huh.
and so that we can secure the structure. What we've been doing over the last year or so is restoring the tower back to its original grandeur. So that we're putting the hip tile roof back on, which also opens up the Belvedere, the observation level on the top of this. So it's if you've driven by it recently, you'll see there's a whole different architectural silhouette because the roof is back up.
Wow.
And we're going to, you know, it's really exciting to have this back. We'll be able to have visitors go upstairs to the observation level.
That's going to be great.
And yeah. from there, you can see back and forth down the river. It's a wonderful monument. The statues are being cleaned and reinstalled. It's just going to be
fantastic.
Fabulous, and it's a really important piece to the site.
And you don't get workmanship like that anymore, and it's just aesthetically gorgeous. It's
right. It's definitely a mark on the landscape, and it is something that you can see from the river. And it's just something we're really happy to have back, coming back. So people need to look for the opening, the grand opening of this, and it'll happen in 2018.
Oh, good.
And we're very proud that we actually were able to get this going.
Well, you've got to let me know when that is, okay?
Oh, believe me.
So we can tell everybody.
Believe me, you'll know. And it went to, you know, it was a lot, just like the site was saved back in the, you know, the mid-1800s, the tower was saved the same way. A lot of it came from, you know, some of it came from state and federal grants, but a lot of the money to restore the tower came from individual donations. And it really is a community effort spearheaded by the Palisades Interstate Park Commission and the Palisades Parks Conservancy. And we're very grateful for them and to the community for doing that.
That's it. Now, let's take some time and go over events that you do each year and approximately when they are, and then you can give us more insight into what's coming up right away.
Sure. Well, we have a full calendar of events. We're open, even though we have some limited hours from November through mid-April, we have events going all year round. And, you know, coming up this time of year, we have, of course, George Washington's birthday celebration.
Uh-huh.
We do a 3-day festival every year on a grand scale. General is here in attendance, reenacted by John Koopman, who is wonderful. We also have music and lectures and crafts for the kids, and of course, birthday cake.
Oh, nice.
And the house and the museum are open free that day. So it's a great opportunity to come down and get a little history and a little cake.
What are the dates for this year?
This year it is February 17th, 18th, and 19th.
Okay. You can come in. And you have drills, too, of some of the...
We have military reenactors doing drills. You know, it's a wonderful... We call it organized chaos because there is so much happening. It's from 12 to 4 each day. And no matter the weather, we're open. and it's going to be fun. It's really a lot of fun to bring the family down.
Now, did there'll be food if somebody wants to eat there?
There's birthday cake.
The cake. Okay, so, yeah, all right.
And the admission, as I said, the admission is free, but we accept donations. If you had a great time, you know, throw some money in the till. We have some, our friends group has a little souvenir shop that day, so you can pick up a little thing, things like that. But there's always a craft for you to do and take things home. And we have a wide variety of talks each day. So that
it's worth the trip.
Something for everyone to do. Like I said, it's the 17th, 18th, and 19th, and it is from noon until 4 p.m.
So then every year somebody can look, find when Washington's birthday is, and kind of get an idea of what the weekend, you know, thing is going to be. You do something called the General's Lady also. Do you still do that?
Yes, we do that in March every year during Women's History Month. And we give out what we call the Martha Washington Woman of History Award, which celebrates a woman in the Hudson Valley who has celebrated history or encouraged the study of history, and you know, that they have some of Martha Washington's values, because she was a very interesting and incredible woman, our first lady. She was the first commander-in-chief's wife, and she set a standard. And we try to celebrate her, since she really did spend a lot of time here with her husband.
Isn't that nice?
So we have this award that we give out every year at that program, the General's Lady, and we have a guest speaker every year, and we celebrate the award. So it's going to be this year, March 18th, at 2 o'clock, which is a Sunday afternoon. Again, there's no admission for that.
Okay. Do you know who the speaker is? Or
at this point, we haven't confirmed it.
Okay.
But if it is who I think it's going to be fabulous.
Okay, that's great. Well, you
keep an eye out for the promotion for that.
Yes. Now, are there other things you do at other times of the year? I think you do a Christmas.
We do all kinds of things. In April, we usually have our volunteer fair, which is a way that Washington's headquarters works with the community, because Newburgh has a lot of grassroots and nonprofit organizations that are doing wonderful work here for the people of Newburgh. And it's almost like a job fair, except it's a volunteer fair. And it's an opportunity for those organizations to give out information to the public, as well as recruit people who might want to become involved in the organizations.
Okay.
So we do it on the grounds every year, and usually there's music and you know, refreshments around, and it's a wonderful afternoon.
All right, and that's
usually the end of April, beginning of May.
End of April, okay.
And that's the Newburgh Volunteer Fair. And, of course, we're also involved with the community during Newburgh Illuminated, which happens, I think this year it's June 2nd. It's the solstice. And there's a big festival in Newburgh and Washington's headquarters. Our grounds are a wonderful venue and part of that, and we do programming as well.
And that's that has to do with Edison and the fact that electricity...
Well, that's one of the things, but it's really an opportunity for Newburgh to celebrate that type of their history, as well as all of the arts and culture that has developed, and really a way to sort of stretch out our arms and say people should be excited about Newburgh, celebrate all the things that we have to offer, and hope that people come down and check us out as a city, because it really is a wonderful
place. So that's June 2nd? Okay.
That's June 2nd.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, as I said, we opened in 1850, and our birthday happens to be July 4th as well. That's
okay.
When we open.
Yeah.
So we have a grand celebration every year on July 4th. So we have some sort of programming, and the city then tops it off with fireworks, which is always nice. In the fall, we do a Kites Over the Hudson, which is a opportunity for, we give out 150 kites to kids 15 and under.
Oh, wow, that's fun.
For free, and people bring down their kites. And we have hundreds of people flying kites on our great lawn overlooking the Hudson, and it's beautiful. And we get a lot of people from the community down to celebrate, you know, the river and the site. It's a beautiful event.
Do you have a date on that yet?
We do not.
Okay.
But it'll be, again, it's usually late September.
Okay, late September.
We do it every year.
Yep.
In December, Newburgh has one of the largest historic districts in the country. And we celebrate with the city during their historic house tours, which is the second Sunday in December. and people can, we work with Crawford House, which is the Historical Society of Newburgh and the Hudson Highlands.
Yep.
And we're part of that. And again, that's another time you can come and see the headquarters. We have music in the headquarters. It's wonderful.
And it's decorated beautifully.
Decorated for the holiday season.
Yep. Yep.
And also in December, during school vacation week, we are a cure for cabin fever, especially this year when it's so cold and you just are sick of being in the house. It's a wonderful place to come out. We're open. We have crafts for the kids. It's just a nice place to go on a nice cold day.
Oh, isn't that something? Very.
So that's pretty much. And then, you know, we also have other things that go on all year long, and you have to keep watching our website, and if you want, be on our mailing list to get the information. But you can check us out at www.nysparks.com. And look for Washington's Headquarters State Historic Site. We also have a Facebook page, Washington's Headquarters State Historic Site, and those things are listed. And our phone number is 845-562-1195. And you can call us up, and we'll put you on our mailing list if you want to give us your email address, and then you'll get the information directly sent to your house.
Anybody that's going to be bringing a group, a school group, a bus group, they need to make reservations in
advance?
We
do all year round. We do school groups and bus groups. We have special programs that we can to provide. Not only do you get to tour the house and the museum with a guide, but you can also take a special program, whether it be on 18th century medicine or the Badge of Military Merit to the Purple Heart. We have a number of things, and it's also on our website page. You can look at our adult and our school brochures to plan a trip. It's very reasonably priced, and it's a really wonderful opportunity to see a very unique site. It's a little gem.
Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful site. The museum's fantastic. The house, everything is great. You know, it's interesting. Back in the, for about 15 years, we did Weekend Magazine as both the radio and a published magazine. And somebody walked into my office one day, and he had these old pictures. And one was, it was a shot of the house, but it had like this beautiful victory garden right next to it with big cabbages and stuff.
Right.
And then there was another picture, and it had Charles de Gaulle in the back. I guess their famous people used to, you know, visit. I guess they still do.
Well, they still do. This past September, the president of Poland was here.
Wow.
President Duda was here with an entourage, and he was thrilled.
And it clusters nicely with the Purple Heart Museum in New Windsor. You got the New Windsor Cantonment.
Yes.
I mean, it's just a great...
And West Point is
West
only
Point.
20 minutes south of here. And so this is, you know, what's wonderful is this this region has so many Revolutionary War sites.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we also have the Stony Point Battlefield and the Fort Montgomery Battlefields and Senate House in Kingston, New Windsor Cantonment, Knox's Headquarters, the National Purple Heart Hall of Honor. And those are only the New York State-run historic sites in this region.
Yep.
And across the river, there are way more.
Yep.
You know, so there's a lot to see.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that the city of Newburgh has really been on a revival. And right near the headquarters, there are a number of different restaurants. The Newburgh Brewing Company is right next door. You know, you definitely can come here and make a day of it.
Yep. Yep, that sounds really good. I want to just ask you one question.
Sure.
When I was in the museum, there was a link from the chain that went across the Hudson River.
Yes.
Is that still there?
Yes, we have part of the boom.
Wow.
Which was used as a defense against, you know, on the Hudson, defense against the British. And we have the only section that we know of that has been excavated out of the Hudson.
Yeah, everybody's got to look at that.
So it's really a special piece. But we have a lot of special pieces in the collection, and there's really something for everyone. It's a very eclectic collection. We're very proud to be the stewards of this.
Yes, well, at least we're out of time. I'm so happy you came on, and I hope we gave everybody some good information. Everybody should remember that this show will be archived also on the website. RealCountryHV.com, www.realcountryhv.com. And so you can listen. If somebody's driving and they can't take notes or anything, they can do that. So thank you very much.
And if I could just remind people that our phone number is 845-562-1195, and you can find us on www.nysparks.com, newyorkstateparks.com. And on Facebook, we're there too. We are open all year round. We have limited hours in the fall and winter. We're open Fridays and Saturdays, and also by appointment Tuesday through Saturday. But once April 15th comes, we're going to be open 5 days a week, and we want you to come down.
Okay. Sounds like a plan. Thank you very much, and you have
a good day.
Well, that's a wrap for this week. I hope everybody has a wonderful week, and don't forget to check out Washington's headquarters. Bye-bye.